And then Solomon winds up being the next king. And Solomon winds up being a forefather of Jesus. All of that out of adultery and murder? Now, I'm not advocating for us to commit adultery and murder. But I want you to understand that God is with you even when you fail. See, the enemy and our minds will try to trick us and be like, nobody wants anything to do with us now. But God. Now, there may be a whole bunch of people that don't want anything to do with you now, but God will be right there with you. Right in the midst of your mess. With God, our stories never end in failure. If we would look to him. It'll never end that way. See, most people would have stopped reading and thought that was the end of it. You know, David and Bathsheba, the baby died. Yep, y'all got what y'all deserve, so forth. But that's not the end of the story. Again, they repented. He repented. Bathsheba really didn't do anything wrong. He repented. And it opened the door now where God could restore them. Restore him. Come on, watch this. Now lift this woman that was quite frankly taken advantage of and lift her to a place of honor. That here it is, thousands of years later, you know her name. That's what God would do. Catch this statement here. God can and will manufacture good things from your failure when you turn to him in it. God can. And God will manufacture good things from your failure when you turn to him in it. I've been saying this for years. God can bring good from any situation in our lives if we look to him in it. Any situation in our lives. Any situation. Listen, as a much younger man, someone say, you're still a young man, Pastor. Thank you. Appreciate that. As a much younger man, though, I'm really not the type that like brags or so forth. But I'm gonna just be a little braggadocious now. I was an extremely good athlete and student, for that matter, academically. So there was a lot of, you know, recruitment going on for me. I was playing football and running track and so forth. I could also play basketball at a high level, you know, so forth. And my senior year wind up getting a bit adjusted because I broke my wrist, like, you know, pretty much the first week of the season. And then I decided I was going to keep playing the whole season. So I played the whole season with a broken wrist. Still, you know, got honorable city mentions in the city of Detroit. Scored still several touchdowns and interceptions and so forth. All with a broken wrist. So I'm doing things academically, you know, as well. Then I had to have surgery on my wrist because I broke it. And then I played football for a full season with it. So I just like tore it up. So I had to have surgery because regular healing, just putting a cast on it, wouldn't work. Tried that for like about 12 weeks and it didn't heal. So finally they had to put me in and have surgery. They did some bone graft where they took some bone from my hip, put a pin in my wrist, and then kind of put the bone around it and so forth. So I still got this pin in my wrist, you know, to the day. And as a result, now that was a whole nother process. So now it's my first year in college. I can't play because I'm still healing. And football probably and sports at the time kept me out of a lot of trouble. But now I'm not playing because I'm still healing and recovering and I'm off in school and I'm making bad decisions. I'm making bad decision after bad decision. Don't y'all look at me like that, like y'all never made a bad decision before. But I'm making bad decision after bad decision. And I'm supposed to be working out, which I was doing some working out. And come springtime, I was supposed to be able to kind of get back, you know, on the field. And by that time, come on now, I'm on into the college party life, so forth. Did y'all know they have parties on college and so forth? Y'all know about that? Oh, anyway. So I'm doing all of that kind of stuff. And I look up, I never will remember, I'm kind of riding with a friend and coming, and I look over and at the football field, and so happened the team was out there working. I'm just like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be out there. Now, you would think I would have gone on out there, but I didn't. I just kind of kept doing the things that I was doing. So I'm creating a bad situation. So now I'm trying to figure out how do I kind of, you know, get out of this bad situation, because now that I'm not playing football, you know, the whole prospects, watch this, of the whole scholarship paying for my tuition and all that kind of stuff, that's not there now. That's not there now. So, you know, come on now, student aid only covers so much, you know, and I need to figure out how to pay these bills. Well, make a long story short, I concocted a plan to sell pharmaceuticals without a license. I think you understand what that means. To pay for my college tuition. So it was a moral endeavor, an illegal activity to produce a, you know, moral endeavor. That's how I justified it. It's like, you know, I pay for my schooling. It's good. Well, make a long story short, you know, that did not go very well, and I wound up getting arrested and charged with some pretty significant time, all because of I was doing pharmaceutical sales. As a matter of fact, I'll just be candid about it. I was looking at 14 to 50 years in prison. I won't go into all the details. And just like y'all said, Jesus, that's the same thing I said when I got that news. Talking about failure. And I'm broken in all this situation. I'm just like, this is not supposed to be the path of my life. So I'm going through the process. And at this point, I'm in the county jail of this one particular city. And I'm in the cell. And at this point, I'm just like drunk with sadness. And I would intentionally go to sleep praying that I'd wake up and this thing was a straight dream. And every time I woke up, I was still in that little cell. I'm in the cell, and in this particular cell, there's this steel cot with this little blue worthless mattress on it. And this steel toilet, you know, sink combo off in the corner. And then right by the door is a steel shelf, and it had a Bible on top of it. It's like, yeah, okay. So for 3 days and three nights, I slept, hoping that this thing would be different. And it wasn't. So after 3 days, I just probably at that point just realized I couldn't sleep anymore. And I finally get up and I finally really come out the cell. There were certain times you could come out. I came out. And I found myself kind of walking because it was about, I think, 30 cells, particularly on this floor in this range where I was. And I found myself just kind of walking and peeking into everyone else's cell because I was curious about the Bible. Well, I had a Bible in there. So I'm just thinking everybody's got a Bible in there. And I walked through and there was not one other Bible on the floor. It's one Bible, and it happens to be in the cell that I'm in. So that night it gets real quiet, and now I've slept for 3 days, so I'm awake, and pretty much everybody else is asleep, probably including the guards. And in that quietness, I start to sense something. Kind of sense this inward witness in this voice, like, pick up the Bible. And I'm sitting there on the edge of this cot, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, what have I done? Pick it up. So I ignore it for a while. And then finally, you know, it's repetitive. I'm just like, okay, I'll pick it up. I got no clue. I got no clue about what to even look at in the Bible. I'd been to church before, so forth. I mean, but still, I didn't know anything. So I pick it up. It's like, open the Bible. So I open it up. And I open it up to no place in particular. I just open it. It's dark, and when I open it, for me, there's like one verse highlighted on the page. Not highlighted with a highlighter, but with some light that was like glowing for me. And it says Psalm 119. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to my words. And in that moment, it broke me. And then this is what I began to now to hear from the Spirit of God. Son, I'm still here with you. I know it may look bad, but I'm here with you. And if you will look to me, you can still win. And that night, September 18, 1989, never will forget it, the day I was born, I embraced life and relationship with Jesus. I wish I could tell you that, well, everything went well with the case and so forth. No, I got convicted, and that was a whole nother issue. But during the whole process, now God is with me. And I was never good. I was always good. I was never bad. Now, I'm saying this because I want you to understand, God is with you in your failure, and your failure does not have to be final. Will you stay with God? So in that moment, trust me, everybody wrote me off. It's like, you bonehead, you so dumb, you so this, you gave up this opportunity, you gave up that, so on and so forth. I just stayed with God. And now, years later, it's really interesting. I'm talking to my nephew about some of this the other day. I don't even remember that stuff. Unless something happens and it kind of triggers it. You remember where those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got thrown into the fiery furnace? But when they came out, it said they didn't even smell like smoke. Huh? There's no stench of prison on me. Failure doesn't have to be final when you stay with God. And I don't have time to go all the way into the message about now the tremendous things that I have been privileged to do with God as a result now of just surrendering to Him on that day. But it all was because of the fact that I come to realize this truth that I'm sharing with you today, that God is with you even in your failures. He's not running from you. He's not writing you off. God is still the one that's right there like, yeah, you messed it up, but I'm the fix-it man. Come on back to me. Come on, say it with me. I'm always good, never bad. Praise God. Come on, I need to finish this up right here. Number six is when we're tired. God is with us when we're tired. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Listen, when you get tired, when you feel like giving up, when that sense of depression starts to roll up on you, that's a good opportunity to run to Jesus. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. See, line up with me. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, your soulless realm is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Listen, there's great value in psychology and mental therapy and so forth. But listen, if all you got is a psychologist, a mental therapist, but not a thorough relationship with Jesus, you're going to be in therapy all your life. Because the real rest for your soul is not going to come in any counseling session. It's going to come in this union with Christ Jesus. That's where the real rest for your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions is going to gain. Don't avoid it. And listen, there's reason why there's such an uptick of dysfunctional mental health in our society. Because there's such an uptick of individuals abandoning God. It's a correlation. It's always funny to me where people just like, I just don't understand. I don't understand all these shootings in school. Now you go back into the 1960s where you're praying in school and so on and so forth. And you look at the stats of how many shootings were happening in school then. So you kick God out of the place, but then you're trying to figure out why things are dysfunctional now. All right, praise the Lord. Number seven, when we are winning. Come on, God is with us when we are winning. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy. Come on now. An energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Come on, you realize that it's God that's on the inside of you working and giving you the desire and the will to do his good pleasure? It's God. I know you may have thought it was you, but no, it's God, baby. He's the source of that. He's the source of that. He's the one that provides the energy for that. Matter of fact, let me say it this way, just as we gotta have to wrap this up. God is the source and strength of all of our victories. Victories that are truly victories that matter in eternity are always empowered by God. Victories that are truly victories, and these are the ones that matter for all eternity, they are empowered by God. And this is why God told the children of Israel, you go back into Deuteronomy 8:18, he says, now it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. And what he was trying to teach them in that whole chapter, don't forget, your success is not because of you. This ability you have to increase is not because of you. I'm the one, watch this, that caused you to win. I'm the one that's with you in the win. So he was trying to help them understand, do not forget that I'm the source of your life, your strength, and all the winning that is really significant.